Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening at 6:30, 8 o'clock, sometimes 9:30, sometimes 11, but it's on the button every day of the week, and including Saturday and Sunday, if I can squeeze it in, at about 8 or 9:30 or 11 o'clock. I am busy on weekends, but I try to accommodate everybody who wants to listen to this show. Now, this show today is going to be talking about a very unpopular topic outside of church or Christian circles, namely the issue of sin. And more specifically, I'm going to discuss why I am a sinner, which may be somewhat surprising because most people hardly see themselves as in that category. Matter of fact, most people think rather well about themselves. They think they support their families, they wear nice clothes, they have a job, and they're fine. But unfortunately, that's not the definition of sin that I will handle in this show, nor is it the way to approach the issue on that superficial basis. Now, I wrote a chapter in my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, chapter 27, Why I Should Be Condemned, and I concluded that I was a sinner and should be condemned for that reason. Fortunately, by the grace of God, I'm not. Let me talk a little about the show and the background to this show so you can know where I'm coming from. This is a politically incorrect show. Namely, it's a show of where we're not interested in media hype, media lies, that kind of thing, or intellectual dishonesty, or anything of that character. We're interested in critical thinking based on reading good books and using your faculties of thought to develop yourself and to reach valid intellectual conclusions. I want to talk about, it is a politically incorrect show, and it is based on critical thinking and in-depth thinking, and not superficial political rhetoric, which gains nobody anything at all, which is a waste of time and an insult to most people's intelligence, if they, of course, they have not used their intelligence by spending their lives reading the New York Post and anything like that. They obviously will not benefit by what I'm just saying. They will think they are quite fine, and unfortunately, neither me nor you nor anybody is fine at all, in reality. Second thing, I'm a Christian and I adhere to the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation as true and valid. And I also adhere to the ancient creeds of the church, Nicene, Apostles, and Athanasian Creed. And I adhere to those creedal statements of the ancient church for many thousands of years. And if I read a book, I'll read a Christian book, whether it's C.S. Lewis, T.S. Eliot, Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Bonhoeffer, or whoever it might be. These are the books I read to be informed of truth and validity of thought, including G.K. Chesterton is another author I greatly treasure, as well as St. Augustine. Of course, the Epistles of Paul are fantastic in their thinking, and I cannot value them more than I do to this day. I are constantly by my bedside, and I constantly read them and benefit from them. Next, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and I have many people from Muslim countries in China visit these sites. Over 4,400 people have visited the podcast show, and many people from Muslim countries, Saudi Arabia, etc., Iran, Iraq, visit the Log Talk Radio Show. I'm pleased to say, although these sites are Christian in their orientation, I'm most pleased that my Muslim brothers and sisters visit my sites and listen to what I have to say and read what I have to say. I'm very happy about that. And I welcome all faiths and creeds and thoughts to this show and exclude no person or point of view or idea, which I'm willing to listen to carefully and with concern and validity. Next, I would like to talk about the fact that I also I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian books are essays in the Christian worldview, essays in faith, culture, politics, and philosophy, a book on the parables, and most recently a book on the Psalms. And I've also written a book on the Psalms, a 390-page treatise. And the Psalms are one of my favorite books that I love, the Bible that I love and treasure. As John Donne, the great English poet, said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They are where the church hears the voice of Christ and God, I think. I love them, I treasure them, and I do know that they are the epitome of Jewish religious lyric poetry and come across in any translation you can find, wherever you can be. Next, I'm planning other books. A book on the miracles in the Bible is in the offing. A book on my blogs, of the blogs that I prepared, two sets of blogs, which are literary, philosophical, theological, and political blogs. They are going to be formatted into two books. And I'm also preparing a book on pretrial motions and hearings, a legal book, partially written. I'm also writing a book on the Book of Job, a very great book. Job was not Jewish. He was an Edomite. And the book is formatted into in terms of a Greek tragedy, the format of a Greek tragedy. And it's a wonderful piece of work, and I will enjoy writing about it. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. A world without books, a world without the great books of the past, is a world sinking into ignorance and darkness. And we may never recover from this degradation, pleasant being posed on people, where people don't know anything good besides the daily newspaper and the racing form. For many people, that is what they know, but that is not knowing anything. In fact, it's losing your mind in nonsense. And so I've also written over 800 blogs, literary, political, and theological. And these essays can be found on my website, and they're found at academia.edu, and they are found in other sites, my website, and on social media. The blogs are visited by many people, uploaded by many people all over the world. And even though many of them are Christian in their orientation, they are read by many cultures and many different societies in the world, all over. So I'm very happy that my written work is having such an audience as it does. As I say, I've written a book on the Psalms most lately, and I hope you can get it on Amazon. I think it's worth it. The Psalms, as John Donne, one of my favorite poets, has said, it is the manna of the church. It is the bread of the church. It is where you can find the voice of Christ and the voice of God in this beautiful lyric poetry. Whoever wrote the Psalms was a great, great poetic mind. And anybody who hasn't read the Psalms are deprived. As I mentioned of these books that I read, we are increasingly living in a society of deprivation, of intellectual deprivation. I also have written three major articles on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, brought by the United States Supreme Court and by the State Department and many European universities all over Europe and universities in the United States. I also have written two articles in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, on the United States educational system and on the sexual orientation discrimination. I abhor discrimination as a Christian in every way, and I welcome all points of view and all ways of life, knowing that Jesus died for all without question or dispute. So these articles in Academicus have been bought by the State Department and by many foreign universities in the world. That's as far as I'm going to talk about my background and what I'm up to these days and the books I'm writing. And I'm going to talk about sin and why I am a sinner specifically, and why people should perhaps reach that conclusion. Many people would find this subject and concept somewhat comical and wouldn't understand it. But after much reflection, I have reached the conclusion that I really am not a particularly great person. When I was a younger person, I felt extremely well of myself in every way. As I was studying in college, law school, and graduate school, I thought I was smart, articulate, well-educated, well-mannered. I thought myself to be a fairly good person, at least. At least I thought I was. But these conclusions were based on my own essential egotism and self-involvement. I also thought that I was rather good-looking and popular. So, but these are perceptions. They don't reach the essence of the meaning of the inner person. I thought well of myself, and I thought I was okay. I thought I was doing well in law school, college, and graduate school. I thought I was smart, articulate, well-educated, and well-mannered. I also thought myself a fairly good person, as many people really do think quite well of themselves, or at least I thought I was. But these conclusions, for all of us and me, were based on my essential egotism and sin and self-involvement. So they were really based on a sin-encased society and world. However, let's take a look at the certain sayings of Jesus in the Gospel that makes me conclude that all of us are in sin, that I'm in sin, encased in sin, and that I should be condemned. And possibly, I can't say whether God will condemn everybody, but upon careful thought, perhaps that's what everybody deserves. One particular passage is the parable of the Last Judgment, found in Matthew 25:31-46. In this gospel passage, Jesus tells us that when he returns to earth, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations, it's not clear whether this is everybody, and maybe just pagan nations, non-Jewish nations, non-Christian nations, will be gathered. And he says he will separate the good from the bad, the sheep from the goats. And then he will tell those the people that deserve to be saved that he's going to say that when I was hungry, namely anybody in the world was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, I was naked. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And so Jesus is saying here that these are the people that will be saved. Those people who fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, welcomed strangers, gave people clothing that were naked, and visited the sick and went in prisons to visit people. And the response of the righteous people, who will be saved, who Jesus says will be saved on this basis, they answer, they are interested, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or you thirsty and give you a drink, or see you a stranger and welcome you, or see you naked and clothe you, or see you sick or in prison and visit you? So that is his concern here. The concern of the righteous is, what are you talking about? We didn't see you hungry. We didn't see you thirsty and give you drink. We didn't see you a stranger and welcome you, or clothe you naked, or see you sick and visit you, or visit you in prison. And then the answer of the king will be at this point, what you do to the least of people, you do to Jesus personally. And he says, those who do not do this and haven't done this in their lives will be put in eternal fire. So, Jesus says here that the unrighteous, will, having not done to the least of these actions, will be condemned, and the righteous will be saved, who have done it, at least attempted to live a moral life on that basis. And then the second passage just points to me, and so I say to myself, have I done these things? Have I fed the hungry? Have I gave you thirst? Have I given you a drink? Have I welcomed the stranger or clothed you or seen you sick and in prison and visit you? Did I do any of those things? And the answer is no. And therefore, I conclude that I'm quite a sinner, actually. that I'm not at all the kind of person that I thought I was, or at least I tried to think I was. And the second passage that I think points out why we all are in sin and should be condemned is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This tells the story of a rich man who feasted every day, and at his gate lay a poor man, and he fed him what fell from the table. And the rich man is in torment, and the poor man is in heaven. And then we're told that the rich man has suffered for not helping Lazarus in this life. Again, we have a situation understanding that the nature of our sin, our inadequacy. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man stood by in fine linen and feasted, but he gave nothing to the poor man. And Lazarus, who merely wanted to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table, Jesus tells us that the rich man will be condemned for showing no concern to this poor person. So what are we going to say here? We've looked at the parable of the Last Judgment, where there's an instruction that we have a commitment. We are committed to feeding the hungry and helping people and showing love to our neighbor. And in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, we're told that the rich man is condemned for not loving sufficiently and helping the poor man by his table. So we have to try to understand what the true nature of sin is. Sin is selfishness. It is self-involvement. It is devotion to self. So I really reached the conclusion, unfortunately, at least as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure this is true of all of us who give the matter any thought, has been devoted to myself. And I have done little or nothing for those around me. In fact, I have not visited anyone in prison or sick, have not fed people, have not given food or clothes to those in need. And while I feasted with my family during Thanksgiving and Christmas, I didn't pay much attention to those other people that weren't as fortunate. It's a fact I do attend church. But Jesus makes clear that what matters is not what I may say about him or have faith in him, but what I do for others and our behavior and lives, how we live our lives. So I'm lucky, I think, that I have the opportunity for forgiveness by the grace of God. I'm aware of my failings, and we should all be aware of our failings because we are all encased in this sin, in this selfishness, in this self-involvement, in this self-love. There isn't a day passes that we don't think about ourselves. However, the fact of the matter is that that is why possibly we are sinners and should be condemned. We do not visit the sick. We do not feed the hungry. We do not even give people the crumbs from our table, but continue to feast every day of the week in a way that is best for us. Sin is thinking about ourselves. It is self-involvement. It is self-delusion. It is thinking we well of ourselves. When we judge people, we judge them on their looks. We judge them on their clothes. We judge them on their appearance. Those are the judgments we make. And we like those people. Well, why wouldn't we like them? They're easy to like. A messy, disheveled bum is not much to like about it. He doesn't get much people liking him too much. People avoid him, if anything. But that's not the message of Christ. It is that person that deserves our loving consideration. Not the wealthy, not the well-dressed, and not the prosperous. And so I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I am encased in sin, and I know I am a sinner. I know it because I'm selfish, because I'm self-involved, and I do little or nothing for most people around me, or do the absolute minimum I have to. Well, I'm afraid that Jesus tells us that's not enough. And he says that being that kind of person, it makes you encased in sin. It makes you a candidate for condemnation. He says it unequivocally, and that's a fact. So once we understand what Christ is talking about here, of the nature of sin, we understand where we stand in that respect. Should we be condemned? I can't say. But I know that it is possible we deserve to be condemned, but for the love and grace of Christ. That's the reality. That's the truth. The truth of the matter is we are encased in sin. We are sinners from the get-go. We are selfish, self-involved, egotists, which makes us candidates for sin and condemnation. If that's the way you live your life, that's what you're going to get. Okay? That's what Jesus says. That's what you do. That's what you'll get. Okay? Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and you can find this chapter on why I should be condemned in my book, Essays in Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. You can find it in page 79 of the book. It's page 79. Let me give you the exact pages. And chapter 27, it's pages 79 to 80, 81, and 82, and 83. 79 to 83 of the book. It says in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. By the way, I can't state even more unequivocally and exactly that the day people stop reading books, the day the books are no longer produced, that can give people valuable thinking and make them better people, those are the days where we will descend into darkness. If we're not already in darkness already, we're pretty close to it. Okay, as Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, it's a book I treasure and love. It's the book that is the book for me for all time. He said, people who want to learn from images, whether computers or television, they are being drugged. And he also made a very important statement in that book, that the Bible is the foundation of Western thought and literature. And I also, it's a great book. I recommend it, How to Read a Book. I also recommend E.M. Forster's A Passage to India and Howard's End, two great books that are unforgettable if read and certainly raise you on a level that is not possible through the daily newspaper and through superficial thought. Read the right books and you'll be a better person. You'll be a different person. You will be a developed person. You will be a person who is raised, not brought down, which our present culture does to people. It brings people down, down, down. Okay? Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this talk, and I hope that you will join me in understanding that in books are the salvation of mankind, starting with the Bible and ending with C.S. Lewis, for starters. Okay? Thanks very much. I've enjoyed the talk. I'll be talking again tomorrow night. Night.